Like I say, it's good to be here once again, and we ask to be much of prayer for us this morning. We do exactly what the Lord have us do, and you know, like Brother Ron already made mention of earlier today, I know pretty well everybody's probably got a touch of the sickness today. You know, weather like it is, it's kind of hard to keep yourself healthy, I know, a lot of times, but you know, I'm just thankful to be here this morning, you know, and that's where we need to kind of stand on that. And you know, I know it'd been a whole lot easier probably stay at home, stay in bed, and not have to get up and do anything, but you know what, the Lord, I believe that he loved us enough that he went all the way. He done things that a lot of times I wonder why he done it for somebody like me, but you know what, at the same time, knowing that he could go all the way, I believe I could put forth the effort to do a little bit for him today. So you know what, not only do it for him, do it for myself. You know, that's what I think a lot of people miss out on, is that coming to the house of God, I know, rejuvenates me. It gives me something to keep going forward. You know what, it kind of refills my tank. You know, and I'm just glad to be here, be amongst the brethren, and you know what, it gives me a little unction to go. And you know, I've enjoyed the service so far, and you know what, and I think we ought to take everything in. You know, I know I've made mention of that before about listening to your surroundings and everything that goes on, from the prayers, the songs sung. You know, I believe that you can find a special blessing if you'll do that. But you know, this morning we got a little thought. We're not going to try to keep everybody too long. Like I said, I know everybody's not feeling that well and everything, but we are glad to have you here. And we do have a little bit of a thought that we want to try to preach on today. And I had it for a little while, maybe thinking on it. And you know, I made a comment to Christian when I got out of the car this morning. I really didn't know what I was going to preach on this morning, I'll be honest with you, when I got here. But that thought's been on my mind and my heart, and we've applied scriptures to it. And you know what, and I believe it's what the Lord have us do. And you know, sometimes it's like that. You know what, I don't think of myself a lot of times as being prepared enough, but you know what, I believe the scriptures, though, if you stay in them enough, I believe you can apply them to your heart. And you know what, day in, day out, they may come to you whenever you need them the most. And you know, but studying the Word of God on a consistent basis, just like we said this morning too, when we were talking, you know, as you get into the Word, you might have already read it before, but it provokes thought. It puts it within your heart. It might get you stirring on things. And you know what, whenever the Word of God does that, that's why it is the living Word. And it speaks to us in a way that can give us comfort when we stand in need of it. It'll give us strength whenever we're weak. You know what, we just trust in the Word of God to let it do all things. But you know, as I was getting into the thought maybe that we were given this morning that we're going to try to use, and is about rest. And day of rest is looked at by a lot of people. You know what, throughout our country today, most places, and I've never had a job where I didn't work on Saturday. You know what, I have been able to in the time past be off on Sunday and things like that at a job, but as far as being off on Saturday and things like that, I've just never worked a job that where I was. So I pretty well, my whole adult life, worked 6 days a week. But at the same time, though, you look at the country we live in now, most jobs and stuff that are offered to you, a lot of them are Monday through Friday. And you know what, that's what people are looking for. People want their weekends. They want their rest period. They want something to look forward to at the end of the week. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking about this a little bit today, and I think about how God instituted rest. God not only instituted rest, I believe he's still pressing it today. You know, and like I say, we're going to get into some familiar scripture we probably read time and time again, but we need to be reminded of this, because I believe that it's charged to each and every one of us today to labor into his rest. And that's what we want to try to get across this morning, maybe, is about laboring into God's rest. Now, so we'll start out the second chapter of the book of Genesis. Like I said, very familiar scripture, but we want to talk about the seventh day, what God done. And you know, we know that it went through the 6 days. He created everything, including man. You know, and it gave a little detail into that, how it started everything. But it says in the second chapter, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So, you know, the second chapter starts off kind of like the first chapter did. You know what it says in the beginning? That he made the heavens and the earth. And you know what? The second chapter tells us that he made the heavens and the earth. They were finished, and all the hosts of it. So the whole completion had been done. 6 days, he done all this creation right here that he's been given. And I guess we can take it for what it is on that. But you know what? We begin to see that God begins to change, begins to transform maybe the activity that he's taking. You know, I know that the day and time we're living in right now, and I just told you about how maybe we look at the weekend and things like that. We know that seventh day, you go throughout the Word of God, it'll refer to it as a Sabbath day. Sabbath day, it was set up on pretty much to us as a Saturday. You know what we see today, that people, we still have Seventh-day Adventists, they still worship on Saturday because it is a Sabbath day. But, you know, as I was beginning to think about this a little bit and what it actually is, you know, I think that a lot of times that religion, once again, gets in the way. It corrupts people's minds. It clouds their minds and their vision of what it actually was meant for. They begin to think that by religious standards, they can observe that Sabbath and it'll be good enough for them. But you know, until we realize what God really set it up for, you and I really cannot have true rest. And I'm going to tell you, as we get into Scripture today and to begin to explain out a little bit what our thought is and everything, I want you to pay attention to why God done this and what it took for Him to get to that point. You know what? I believe God, He could have done anything He wanted to. I'm not toning down God in any bit, but He did work for 6 days before He rested. He labored. He put in His time, His effort to do all things, even though I know that God, with the very speaking of His voice, brought everything into existence. It may not have been a whole lot for Him, but 6 days He labored, and then He rested. So, you know, I'm sitting here trying to think about what kind of rest it might have took place, or maybe why God needed rest and things like that. But, it all entered in my mind, my heart this week as we was maybe thinking about this, is that the reason why He was able to rest is because He finished. It's because everything He looked at and He seen, it was accomplishment. You know, God, I believe from cover to cover, we're reading the Word of God. God has always been a God that is more interested in accomplishing things than the very actions that we take in doing them. You know, I'm going to tell you, I believe He's an acting God, not saying that He ain't. But the finished work is what He's looking for. You know what? I've known a lot of men throughout my life, and I know you have too. You know what? They'll be out in the world, and they'll be doing all the things that for many years. They think they're too far out there, but you know what? Comes a point in time where God humbled them down enough and struck them down where they needed to be. You know what? They gave their life to the Lord no matter what they'd done. Even though it had been so many years out there in the world, God still seen it fit to save their soul when He did so. You know what? All that labor that they were doing out in the world, it didn't mean nothing. But then when God began to save them, then the labor really started. So He's looking for a finished work. He's looking for someone that one day after a while would be able to enter into His rest. And so God made this rest. You know what? Not only for Himself, but He'll institute it for His people. And I was beginning to look over this once again. Let's go back to the second and third verse. I want to read it over again. It said, on the seventh day God ended His work, which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work, and God created and made. So I want you to see right here is that God not only rested, but He said He blessed the seventh day, and then He sanctified it. So this whole time that we're going through, when God chose a people from Abraham's seed, the children of Israel, and He brought them out of the land of Egypt, the whole time He spent trying to tell these people how to sanctify themselves and set themselves apart. So this is why I know that God had blessed it and sanctified it to give it to His people. So today, I believe that God wants us to have rest. I believe that He desires for us to have rest. And if we don't begin to realize that today, then you'll never actually begin to live for Him. I'm going to tell you, when I was saved, I talk about it all the time, because I can't give you anything else. I got to give you my testimony, because that's the only way I know. When I was saved, though, I know that things looked different to me. My actions changed. My desires changed. I had a want to begin to serve the Lord. And, you know, it ain't always been like that. There's been times where I got out in the world and done things on my own. My desires went after somewhere else instead of being where they were supposed to be. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, from that time, though, the reason why I have that desire is because God has placed a desire in me enough to get to that point to where I can rest. And I know this is a good subject because, you know, at the end of the work week, right now for most of us, probably ain't feeling well and everything, rest sounds pretty good. And I, you know what? And, I, and rest is always better, though, when it comes after you've actually done something. I don't care who you are, and you know what? We all like naps, and you know what? I remember as a child, whenever they said it was nap time, I was trying to get away from that. I didn't want no part in it. Now I wish they would institute it a little more. I wish I had the opportunity to, because rest is something that's sought after. So I don't believe there's a man alive that doesn't want it. So, you know, as I'm thinking about right here, what is the rest of God, and how do you get there? And, you know, Brother Ron was reading in the Sunday school lesson a minute ago, and it kind of gave us a thought. And, hey, I might have to use this next week on the radio. I don't know. But spiritual narcolepsy. I think a lot of people have got spiritual narcolepsy today. And why is that? It's because they've lost sight of where they're going. They've lost sight of what's been given to them. You know what? When God is sanctified and set apart, when He's blessed that day, therefore that it be rested upon. And like we said, we know that the Bible sets it up. We know the Sabbath was looked at as Saturday and things like that. Why do we worship on Sunday? Why do we observe Sunday as a Sabbath day? It's because it wasn't set up to be a specific time. It was not set up that you just observed that day and that's all you had to do. It was set up that you realize what it's for. It is for the day that we begin to rest, we begin to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart from the world. God has blessed that day in us. It can be on a Sunday. It can be Monday if we wanted to. But what it's for is the main reason. So I'm going to get into some scripture right here, try to share it with you, and y'all try to just follow along with me if you can, and I'm going to do my best to try to get it out there. But, you know, I'm going to turn over into, I believe it's Mark. We'll be in the second chapter of the book of Mark. 23rd verse. All right, and this comes to a point in time right here is maybe where Jesus, you know, once again, them old Pharisees, the religious people, they were right on his heels, and you know what? They was trying to find every fault they could with him, with the law. You know, and there's one thing about this that we know, Jesus, as he began to walk, Jesus' teachings was never going to mix with their law. You know, and I call it their law because I believe they changed it. I don't believe it was the same law that they said that they followed after, which was the law of God. You know what? I believe they distorted it so much like we see today in the house of God. We see a lot of things that are distorted, taken away out of context of the Word of God and begin to be followed after. So you know what? Where spiritual narcolepsy comes from? That's where it comes from, is people getting away from the Word of God and they don't even know how to do it anymore. And I believe that's where the Pharisees were whenever they started this. But anyway, to begin to discuss the Sabbath day. In the 23rd verses, it said, "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did, and when he had need and was and hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the shewbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." You know, as I was reading over this right here, and I know that I've read this before, and you know, it didn't really, I guess, put too much thought to it. Maybe I never preached on it before. But you know, as we said, the Pharisees, they were looking for everything to discredit Jesus. They wanted to use that law. They wanted to catch him in the law. Because if they could catch him in the law of that time, they could surely do what they wanted to with it. Because they had the masses blinded. They were the blind leading the blind. They had them covered up. They didn't know what the righteousness of God was. Even though Jesus was sent, was right there in front of them and showing them the way, these were the people that were once again standing in the way, trying to take them away from what they knew to do. And so as they begin to question Jesus on this, on questioning the Lord of the Sabbath on this very thing right there, they said, why do they, on the Sabbath day, that which is not lawful? And I know I've shared with you before about the many crazy things that people, that the Pharisees would set up that you couldn't do on the Sabbath. You couldn't drag a stick over 10 foot on the Sabbath. It would be considered work. You couldn't walk over a mile on the Sabbath because that would be considered work. You know what? Not supposed to work on the Sabbath. That's all they were focused on. They were focused on that day individually. You know what? And like I said, they had gotten into a spiritual slumber because they didn't know anymore what was right. And Jesus right here, and whenever he answered them with this question, he said, have you never read what David did? David hadn't eaten. When he was on the run from Saul, you know what? He was hungry. He needed to be fed. You know what? I believe God has every intention of meeting the needs of his people. I believe he has every intention to make sure that his people, which are called by his name, and I believe that if you've been saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are that people. If you've been called according to his purpose today, then he has a desire to fill your need. It does not matter what day of the week it is. It does not matter the circumstances. He is the God and Lord over all. So therefore, that's what it's saying right here. He said, have you not heard? When David was in need, what happened? And you know what? Of course, I'm going to tell you right now that I believe they may have known that it was there. They didn't consider it, though. Jesus, once again, going back to that scripture we like to use all the time. And Jesus told them, he said, you do err not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. You know what? They've forgotten about it because they're not focused on the Word of God anymore. You know, the Word of God, from the very beginning of time, once it's applied to faith, you know what? That's how it brings forth salvation. That's how a believer comes into being. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, whenever you continue to ignore the Word of God, you cannot expect to be able to labor in the way that we should for the Lord to enter into that rest. You know what? The Sabbath day to them, I don't believe was enjoyable. You know, I'm thinking nowadays, and we look in the church houses right now, the reason why so many are not here, the reason why a lot of times you see long faces when you come in the house of God, and there's no sense in putting that aside because that's how it is.
Right.
The reason why that happens is we forgot why we're here. We're forgetting what the Sabbath is for. We're forgetting of what it was made. You know, it was a day of rest. God blessed it and sanctified it and set it apart. He did the same for his people, that we all may be joined together in the rest that he made on the seventh day. So, you know, what I'm going to tell you right now is these men right here, I know they didn't enjoy it. People do not enjoy church because they lose sight of what it is to have rest in the Lord. You know, what I'm going to tell you, I believe that right now, I believe in this very life that we're living, as you've got breath in your body, there is an ability to have a little bit of rest in the Lord. Now, one day after a while, I know we're going to enter into an eternal rest with the Lord. You know, I ain't going to have to worry about nothing anymore. No more sorrow, no more pain. But right now, there is an ability to do that. There is an ability to enjoy the presence of God. But you know, I'm going to tell you, when you get down in a rut so much, and like I said, spiritual narcolepsy, people are asleep, they're falling away, they've gotten to the point where they ignore what the Word of God says. The Word of God is what brings everything together in the house of God. It brings everything together whenever we're here today. You know, the songs we sing, they're based upon the Word of God. The testimonies we hear is based because somebody heard the Word of God. The prayers that we pray, they're based because we know what the promises are in the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you right now, is to know the rest of God is in the Word of God. You know why I told you earlier, why does it gives you comfort, it gives you strength. The needs that you have, God can meet those because of the Word. So what we see right here is that he told them, just like he did with Satan, there was no difference here. He showed them the Word of God, pointed it out to them. And what happened? They went into the house of God, and they took the shoe bread and they ate it. It wasn't lawful. It stood against the very law that Moses gave. But there was something that happened here. And I think we kind of talked about this Wednesday night whenever we were discussing something that Aaron had done. It wasn't right, but it was done out of ignorance. Therefore, it was not punished. So what David right here, it shows what kind of God we serve, even though it was not lawful at the time, because David done it, and I believe his heart was right, for one thing. I believe that he's where he needed to be, and God desired to meet that need. Therefore, David was not punished for doing this. It was against their law, but he was not punished by God. So you know what we see right here is as they go out and they're plucking the corn out of the field, they're considered to be working on the Sabbath. They're considered to be breaking the very law they hold dear right there. Jesus did not condemn them for it. And in fact, he let them go out there and do it. So what we see right here is the very period of rest is not to be gained of by work, but work is instituted to gain rest. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm not teaching works into salvation. I want you to make that very clear this morning. I don't believe there's anything that you can do in this life that could obtain you your ultimate salvation. But I believe once you've been saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, there are works that will come out of your salvation. And they are the works of salvation. They're not the works of the law. That's why Jesus' teachings couldn't go along with that law. He didn't break the law. He came to fulfill it. So we know he didn't break it. But what we see right here is that by the fulfilling of the law, it was done in a more perfect way. So it's teaching us that spirituality is the key to our success in working for the Lord. So, you know, I was kind of dwelling on this a little bit as we were studying over it. But, you know, the thing is, I'm going to tell you one more time about God. God's not a God of quantity. He's a God of quality. And, you know, you can spend this whole life working. You can spend this whole life keeping yourself busy. But it's the quality work you do that's going to matter. You know what? A lot of us, we can get busy and do things and do good things by our standards. But if we're not doing the things that are of God and God has placed in our life to do, then we might as well not be doing anything. The quality of work that you do. You know, the Pharisees, once again, no doubt they were religious people. No doubt they even sometimes thought they were doing the work of God. But Jesus came and told them, you're doing it all wrong. You know what? There's going to be a lot of people one day after a while that went to church each and every Sunday that would probably sit on committees. They were deacons. They were pastors. They were Sunday school teachers. That'll wind up in hell because they were not living the way that God intended on them living.
Right.
Not doing the works that God had placed in their life. And the first work, I believe, is the work that salvation brings about. But as it says right here, is that, hey, they were going about doing something that was clearly against the law. But because of the state their heart was in, what they needed it for, they were hungry. Just like David was. David was hungry and God would provide. So that's when he tells them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God in the very beginning, he rested on the seventh day. He blessed it. He sanctified it. He placed it there. That way when his people come about, when he would sanctify and set them apart, whenever they could truly get themselves. And once again, all those things they had to do, all those conditions they had to meet was all for the sanctification of themselves. That way that they could have the presence of God. So you know what, today, each and everything we do, when we pray, when we talk it over with the Lord, when we have that repentive life that we're living day in and day out, when we come to the house of God and do all the things that He expects us to do by the Word of God, then we are sanctifying ourselves to be put in a sanctified place. And that is the rest of God. So you know what, the Sabbath was made for man. It was made to give us a place, a sanctuary, a place of escape. You know what, the house of God we've got right now? Just think of it as when you come in here the same way David did. If you come in here the way David does, then he'll surely give you what you stand in need of. You know what? And now it's more perfect than that because now the Spirit indwells within us. So anytime you have need, if your heart's right, you humble yourself down in the right position, God can give you what you stand in need of, not only physically but spiritually. But that's what it says right here, is that the Sabbath was made for man. God intended on it, and therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You know, I'm going to tell you, you look in nowadays, once again, we was talking about earlier about how people look at their weekends. Everybody seeks after that 9-to-5 job, Monday through Friday, if you get a job at all. But I'm going to tell you, they value those weekends. They value that day. But if the Lord is Lord of your life, He's the Lord over every day. Whether you like it or not. Whether the people out there in the world choose to accept it or not. So then we recognize how to begin to sanctify it within our own lives. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, knowing that He made it for us, knowing that He gave it for an opportunity that you and I could have rest, we also need to take it and begin to consider it as a holy day. You know what? I've told you many times before, and I'm sure a lot of you stand right along with me. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love baseball. I love football. I love about any kind of sport. But you know what? The Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. When it comes down to Sunday, Sunday is the day that I recognize as the Lord's Day. It's the day that's been sanctified, set apart. It's for Him. Therefore, the Sabbath day, the day that was made for His people, but He's the Lord over it. Give what's His. So as I'm thinking about this right now, and you know how many times we can begin to turn it away and turn it into something that it's not. The day of rest that's been given to us that we were able to enter into. The day that we see as now on Sunday, we recognize, you know, really, people argue, well, Sunday's the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week. Well, once again, we're getting into a situation here to where we're ignoring the very fact of why God set it up. God set it up is that His people have a place. You know, I'm glad to know today that God set me up a place. You know, I believe that with all my heart. I believe that whenever you go back to the very beginning of time, well, before the foundations of the world, God had it set up to have a place for His people. He set up, if you don't believe that, how can you believe that the plan of salvation had been set up from the very beginning of the time? The very foundation of the world, He had all this in place. He said in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, kind of leaving off where we ended last week about the unbelief of the Israelites. You know, like I said, He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He tried to teach them every way He could to sanctify them, set them apart from the world, therefore they could be His people. You know what? And He didn't stop there. We know that time and time again they had, we know the unbelief of the wilderness that kept them out is because of their unbelief that they stayed. But then the next part right here, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left to us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And this, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." You know what? The wording right there can get a little bit confusing on it a little bit, so I'm going to kind of summarize it a little bit. But let's go back up to the first verse. It says, "Let us therefore fear." You know what? A man cannot live for God without the fear and love of God. You know, I'm going to tell you that reverently fear that we've got, to give reverence to God, is what's going to keep you on the straight and narrow. Without a fear of consequence. You know, I'm going to tell you, well, I know that I was saved when I was a 7-year-old boy, and I know I got exactly what I needed. You know, when people will tell you that's all it'll ever take. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches is that let us therefore fear. So, you know, if I thought that was all that I would ever need, then there'd be no need for a reverence be given to God. You know what? God gave me the opportunity of salvation back then, and I accepted it. I accepted that calling that He gave me. I became His people. He sanctified me, set me apart. But sanctification, once again, is a process. It begins to be a part of your life. It has to be continual, day in, day out. That's why, like I say, Hebrews argued about, but I believe Paul wrote it. That's why I believe it when Paul says it right here. He says, "Let us therefore fear a promise being left unto us, of entering into His rest, lest any of you should seem to come short of it." I'll read it right here in a minute. But you know what? So there is a possibility of falling short of it. There is a possibility that you may not make it. Now, the kind of God I serve is one that finishes things once again. I believe that Jesus, whenever He went up on that hill, He finished it all the way. He done everything. He said it was accomplished before He gave up the ghost. Everything that He'd ever done right there was all that was necessary to salvation. So you know what? Whenever I received that, whenever I was a 7-year-old boy, whenever it entered into my heart, it was a perfect, full salvation. There was nothing left undone. So don't get me wrong when I say this of coming short. Those that will come short, it will be because they forget about the fear of God. They forget that they're supposed to live a life that's sanctified, set apart. They're supposed to live a life that will labor under the rest of the God. You know what? I was thinking about God, how He worked 6 days. You know, a lot of times, I've heard a story a long time ago, and I'm not going to get too in-depth in it because I don't want to talk about money and stuff like that, but that's where I heard it. But, you know, a lot of people, they'll get the end of the week or the end of the month, and if you ain't done nothing all week or all month, can't expect to have enough money to pay the bills. And you know what? I see a lot of people that'll get to that point. They'll get all the way down to the end, and they'll say, well, I need this. And, you know, a lot of times they get the answer from the world. They know they need to get out and they need to work. They need to institute work in their life in order to obtain this. But you know, they'll make up every excuse because of what day it is. You know what? God, He rested on the Sabbath day because He finished all His work. You know what? One day after a while, you and I, we will rest because we finished our work. You know what? God, He's interested in the finished product. He's interested in one day after a while. When you come to the end of this life's journey, I'm going to tell you, we fail and come short quite a lot. And I know that I do. I'll speak for myself. I ain't going to throw it at nobody else. Myself, I fail and come short quite a lot. But you know what? There are certain works that God's given me to do, and He expects me to do. And then one day after a while, when I stand before Him at a righteous judgment, He's going to be expecting it to be finished. You know what? But one that would stand before Him and it be unaccomplished, how can you say that you, when you stand before a righteous God, that I've done all that I can do? You can't. Because you've not labored. Laboring is instituted in order to receive rest. And what does it say right here? It says, "For unto us the gospel is preached as well as unto them, but the word is preached and did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest." So the first thing that needs to be done is whenever faith meets the word of God. Salvation has to be had. In order to enter into rest, the first thing that has to be accomplished is salvation. A man can't make it into heaven without being saved. And unless he goes through Jesus Christ, we know it. It's been taught from the very beginning. And if somebody's not teaching it today, you need to mark them and put them aside, because it only goes through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to have complete rest. The peace is there. You know, like we were talking about in the Sunday school lesson, hey, you got to have peace amongst yourself in order to have peace with everybody else. You got to have peace within yourself, between you and God. But it spares you from the wrath of God. You know what? If the fear of God's there, it needs to be a reverent fear. Because if the fear or wrath of God means that nothing's right between you and Him. So you know what we see right here is that it says the gospel was preached, they heard it. Some choose to believe and some don't. So what we see right here is that once we receive it, once we've gathered it, once it's become a part of us, then we labor at it. You know what? I'm going to tell you, that's the danger of teaching that condemning doctrine. But I'm here to tell you today that the necessity of you as a Christian person is, once you've received the gospel of Jesus Christ and you've accepted it and you believed upon it, you've been saved by His grace, then the labor actually starts to enter into the rest. Until you become a child of God, you can't even begin to explain what you think about rest. So you know, I'm going to tell you, I like to say, you look at today, and today is the day that we've set aside for the Lord. But you know what? He's made a promise. He's made a promise to give those that would be of Him that ultimate rest, the day that we'd all enter in and labor toward it and keep holding fast. But He also gave a promise that those that would not, they'll never enter. You know what I'm going to tell you? We live in a day and a time to where people, like I say, they look at their weekends about like this too. They look and they think that at the end of the week there's going to be something waiting on them, even regardless of what they do. You know, I'm going to tell you what. You go throughout life doing whatever you want to do, and you take someone that goes throughout life doing what the Lord wants them to do, and in the end there's going to be a complete different result, because God made this promise. He made the promise that one day after a while, those that would not labor will not enter in. They will not come to it. Just as the children of Israel, because of their disbelief, they were not able to enter in. So what we see, reading this last part right here, and after this I'm going to close because I'm not going to go any further with it. But it says, "For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works." So you know what? God, from the very beginning of time, I believe, this is what I believe the Word of God teaches, is that He set the plan of salvation up. He set all things in order. That work right there is accomplished. It's finished. God rested from it. There's no more to be added to it. There's no more to be given. But I don't care how big the church is or how well the pastor speaks or anything like that. There's nothing else that can be added to salvation. It's been set up from the very foundation of the world. So therefore, He rested. So when you close your book, when you go in for your rest, is everything that you've done going to be closed up, well settled? Therefore, you can enter into that rest just like God did, that He set up for you. He gave it to each and every one of us. You know what? Look at it that way. Don't try to think, hey, that today is just another day. I don't believe it's just another day, and I hope you don't believe it's just another day. You know, I see a lot of people today that, I think it's been said quite a lot about how many times you can go past a gas station today. you leave out of here, you go past you a gas station, you've got probably got somebody trying to fill their boat up, go duck hunting, or some crazy ones go fishing now time this year. And they're gassing up the four-wheelers and stuff, going deer hunting, things like that. Anything they can do to get away from what it really is. I'm going to tell you, you can put your labor in that if you want to. Put all your works in that basket if you want to. One day after a while, I don't believe that it's going to be the words that you want to hear when you're standing on that judgment seat. And I don't want to be found that way. You're responsible for you. I'm responsible for me. And I believe that's the way God set it up. He made it individual. Salvation's individual. But I'm going to tell you right now is that when at the end of my race, I want to say that I finished it well, complete. And therefore, I know I'll have rest. Hey, this life gets tiresome. Sin, you know what? It's all around us. And battling it each and every day will wear you down. And we all know that. You know, I can't think of a day that goes by that I just can't believe how things have gotten. I can't believe the Lord ain't come back for one thing. You know, I think Brother Ron made mention of that late 90s, how bad it was then. Now, imagine it 20 years later, 20-something years later. And, you know, when you look around, we see all these things. That tires a man that's trying to live for the Lord out. But one day after a while, our labor's not going to be in vain, that we will be able to enter into that rest. And that's what I'm looking forward to. But right now, we can find places. As you just trust in the Lord and let Him guide you and direct you, and I believe you'll find where you need to be. Brother Ron, if you want to come with a song, or we'll get one together right up here. But, you know, I'm going to tell you today, I think it may be a challenge to us today. You know what, you ought to have been trying to strive this way anyway, but let's try to put a little more labor into it. I try to work a little harder, and I believe that when we do, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. That's what God set it up. So as we have a song of invitation, would you stand with us?
116. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, find the streams and cross.
Hope we got our eyes on the prize.